However, the woman is Elijah David, minister of the 12th hour, apostolic Presbyterian congregation, now is out the 12th hour. Today is the new moon. It's history 1, 2029, or the September the 21st, 2025. We're going to continue on the track to Mount Zion, 11th hour, by Big Hope Track 8. We're on page 37, and we're doing part 2 of the subtitle, The Covenant and the Antitype. And so, we're going to start with page 38 of this track. And now said to Yahweh that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob his posterity unto him, again unto him. So Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Yahweh. And my Yahweh shall be my strength. We also may say, though the whole world may reject the Yahweh and his message, yet we will trust in the Yahweh. And he said, it is a life thing that should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. Only I will also give thee for a light unto the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Isaiah 49:1-6. In other words, those of Israel who declare the sealing message of the 144,000 to the congregation shall also declare Yahweh's glory among the Gentiles. Thus, he his salvation. Thus be his salvation unto the end of the earth, and bring all brethren for an offering unto the Yahshua out of all nations. Isaiah 6:19-20. Thus saith the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, the Redeemer of Israel, and his as his Holy One. Let's do it again. Thus saith to Yahweh the Father, and unto his Son, the Redeemer of Israel, the Holy One, unto whom man despises, the one whom they call this man, Luke 19:14, see page 71, unto him whom the nation abhors, unto a servant of rulers, kings, shall see and arise, princes also shall worship because of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, that is faithful. As the Holy One of Israel, and he shall see thee. Thus saith the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, and an acceptable time have I heard thee. And in the day of the salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for the establishing of the earth, for the causing to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say unto the prison, go forth unto them that are in darkness, show yourself. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. He shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them, for he that has mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of the water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north. and from the west, and these from the land of the sun. Sing, O heaven, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountain, for the Yahweh has comforted his people and will have mercy upon his affliction. But Zion said, the Yahweh has forsaken me, and my Yahweh has forgotten me. Isaiah 49:7-14. Let's read that again. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountain. For the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, has comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, has forsaken me, and my Yahshua has forgotten me. Isaiah 49:7. Zion, as we have herein seen, being the congregation in which 144,000 are at the time receiving messages heard, and then as the apple of his eye, the Yahweh asked her, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste. Thy destroyers and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. Isaiah 49:15-17. That is, the sinners will be taken out of her, cast away from among the just. Matthew 13:48-49. Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all, as with an ornament, and bind them on thee as a bridal doeth. See Zechariah 8:23. For the Shepherd, Rod, Volume 2, page 281. For thy waste and thy desolate places, and the land of thy destruction shall even now be too narrow by the reason of the inhabitants, and they that swallow thee up shall be far away. That is, a great multitude is to join a congregation, but the sinners shall be kept out of it. For the children which thou shalt have, those who shall be gathered in after thou hast lost the other, those who fell in the slaughter of Ezekiel 9, shall say again in thine ears, the place is too straight for me. Give place to me that I may dwell. Then shalt thou say in thine heart, who hath begotten me thee, seeing I have lost my children, and am desolate, a captive, and removing to and fro? And who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where have they been? For this question showed that the congregation is ignorant of the great multitude of the Revelation 7:9, the second fruits. Thus saith the Yahweh, behold, I will lift up my hand unto the Gentiles, and set up my standard unto the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders, and kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Yahshua, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith Yahshua, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children, and I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood, as with the sweet wine, and all flesh shall know that I, the Yahshua, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, as the mighty one of Jacob, Isaiah 49:18-26. So when he seeth his children the work of mine hand in the midst of them, they shall sanctify my name and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall fear the Yahweh of Israel. Behold, the name of the Yahweh cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of the indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire, and his breath as an overwhelming stream, shall reach into the midst of the neck to sift the nation with a sieve of vanity, and there shall be a battle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err, Isaiah 29:23-30, 27-28. But the liberal devises liberal things, and by the liberal things shall he stand, because the palaces shall be forsaken, a multitude of the city shall be left, the forts and towers shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in an assured dwelling, and in the quiet resting places, when it shall hail coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth scissors at feet of the ox and the ass, Isaiah 32:8-14-20. Hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might, for the sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has sufficed the hypocrite. Who among us shall dwell with the divine power? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burning? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despises the gain of the oppression, that shaketh his hands from the holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from the hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from the seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. The space of the defense shall be the munitions of rock, bread shall be given him, his water shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king of his city. He shall behold the land that is very far off. Thine heart shall meditate there. Where is the scribe, the secretary, parenthesis? Where is the receiver, the treasurer, parenthesis? Where is he that counted, the statistical secretary, the towers, conference president? Thou shalt not see a fierce people, a people of a deep prestige, then thou canst perceive of a stammering tongue, that thou canst not understand. Thou shalt speak and understand all the languages. Isaiah 33:13-19. Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say unto them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not, behold your Yahweh will come with a vengeance. even Yahweh with the recompense, he will come and save you, and the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, and the habitation of the dragon. For each slave shall be dressed with the reeds and rushes, and the highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called a way of holiness, for the unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those of the wayfaring men. No fool shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransom of the Yeshua, son of Yahweh, shall return and come unto the Mount Zion, the 12th hour, and the rest of songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, for they shall attain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Isaiah 35:3-10. Inasmuch as both the field with the wheat and tares, Matthew 13:30, and the net with the good and bad fish, Matthew 13:47-8, represents the gospel congregation during that period in which the saints and the hypocrites are commingled. Then the vessels into which the good fish are placed after the bad are cast away from among them, and the barn into which the wheat is placed after the tares are separated from it, must necessarily represent the congregation passing from its unclean state, field or net, into another, its purified state, which is symbolized not by the field or by the net, but rather by a barn and by the vessel, a new place, safe and clean, where henceforth there shall no more come the uncircumcised and the unclean, Isaiah 52:1. So no matter what the term we may give to this new place into which the saints are to be gathered, the place itself will be absolutely free from sin before all the sinners among the righteous have been destroyed. Let's do that again. So no matter what the term we may give to this new place and to which the saints are to be gathered, for the place itself will be absolutely free from sin, because all the sinners among the righteous have then been destroyed, since after the separation of the unconverted from among the Yahweh's true people, the congregation then comprised of the 144,000, the first fruits of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, is to emerge into a theocratic government, and evidently then the vessel represents the component units, the tribes into which the redeemed are gathered. Severally, while the bond represents the composite units, the kingdom, and to which they are gathered collectively, and this great gathering, selected, absolute, and final, as it is, only goes to show again that the birth of the kingdom is absolutely dependent upon the purification of the congregation. How the Yahshua has sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the congregation. I am the root and offspring of the David, and the bright and morning star, Revelation 22:16. Arise, that we may go up against them, for we have seen the land, and behold, it is a very good. And are ye still? Judges 18:9. Be not slothful. Act promptly. Get ready. Follow the Lamb to the ruler of the land. This is our last subtitle in this book, Mount Zion's 11th Hour. We're going to have a subtitle for this subject is the Lamb. Follow the Lamb to the ruler of the land. I will back up and read connections with our last paragraph of our last study. I, the Yahshua, have sent mine angel for the testifying unto you these things in the congregation of I am the root and the offspring of the David and the bright and morning star. Revelation 22:16. Arise, that we may go up against them, for we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good. And are ye still? Judges 18:9. Be not slothful. Act promptly and get ready. Follow the Lamb to the ruler of the land. This is part 4 of our study of Mount Zion at the 11th hour, Tract 8 by B.T. Holler. Send ye the Lamb unto the ruler of the land, from Selah unto the wilderness, unto the mount of the daughter of Mount Zion. So where this mount of the daughter of Mount Zion, this house of David, Mount Zion, the 12th hour. For it shall be that as a wandering bird cast out of the nest, so the daughters of Moab shall be at the fords of Arnon. Take counsel, execute judgment, make thy shadow as the night in the midst of the noonday. Hide the outcast, bewray not him that wandereth. Let mine outcast dwell with thee, Moab. Be thou a covert unto them from the face of the spoiler, for the extortioner is at an end. For the spoiler ceaseth, the oppressors are consumed out of the land, and in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it in the truth, in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and hasting righteousness. Isaiah 16:1-5. This is a present tense prophecy for the house of David today in the 12th prayer by God that we're in now. Though this passage may seem to contain nothing more than the Kabbalistic language of the cadence mysticism, yet it holds lessons calculated for the converting even the case-hardened infidel and to the certain truth of the scripture. Indeed, if the Yahweh's people could get along without this scripture, we may be sure that he would not have taken out of the prophet's time to write it or space in the scriptures to record it. Were it, in short, merely a mystical rhapsody of the prophetic tenor without rhyme or reason, then it were naught but a piece of vain repetition and imperfection, an impossible thing with the Yahweh. So to attach no significance or importance to the verses would lay one under the fearful condemnation of the following scripture. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, Yahweh shall take away his part out of the book of the life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in the book. Revelation 22:19. As the Isaiah's words, therefore, must contain a light, the absence of which, leaving dark our path, exposes us to the risk of falling with the blind headlong into the pit. The diligent searcher for the truth will discover that though the passage appears obscured and involved and the mystery, it is plain and simple when seen in the light which shines from above. Send ye the Lamb to the ruler of the land, from Selah and to the wilderness, unto the mount of the daughter of Mount Zion at the 12th hour. I added that part, Mount Zion at the 12th hour. It just says to the daughter of Zion. Let's read that again. Send ye the Lamb unto the ruler of the land, from Selah to the wilderness, unto the mount of the daughter of Zion. Isaiah 16:1. For the definite article thee, THE, lends the absolute meaning to the noun lamb. Showing that a lamb, as the only one of its kind, was the object of the command to send a lamb from Moab unto the mount of the daughter of Zion, Mount Zion in Jerusalem. For it shall be that as a wandering bird cast out of the nest, so the daughters of Moab shall be at the fords of Arnon. That is, the lamb had to be taken from Moab because the Moabites were to be cast out as a wandering bird at the fords of Arnon, Isaiah 16:2. Sacred history records that the one lamb taken from Moab before the Moabites were cast out of their nest were the one of whom John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of Yahweh, the Yeshua." For the prophecy shows that the Lamb was rushed from Moab to the Mount Sion, David's palace, at Jerusalem, an event which took place when Naomi, with her sons, went to Moab, the wilderness, a nation not under the direct care of the Yahweh, and therefore not a vineyard, and brought Ruth, the Moabites, from Moab to Jerusalem, for Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and she bare a son, and they call his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. And Jesse begat David, Ruth 4:13-22. Thus, Yahshua, the son of David, was sent from Moab unto Mount Zion, David's palace, thus showing the Messiah's divinity as a son of Yahweh and his humanity as the son not only of David, but also of Lot, Moab. Oh, how wonderfully particular is our Yahweh for the names Obed, Jesse, and David in the Hebrew tongue mean the Yeshua, a servant. Obed, who is to be my present. Jesse, the beloved David, Joshua being in the flesh a Moabite as well as an Israelite, Yahweh said, let mine outcast dwell with thee, Moab, Joshua. Be thou a covert unto them from the face of the spoiler. And a man, again, pointing to Yahshua, shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as the rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land, Isaiah 16:4. Sent to take counsel, execute judgment, make his shadow as the night in the midst of the noonday, hide the outcast, bewray not him that wandereth, Isaiah 16:3, for the Yeshua, our hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest in a weary land, is a great and perfect shadow, even as midnight at noonday. So also explain the psalmist, how excellent is our loving kindness, O Yahweh. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wing. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Psalms 36:7, 63:7. And therefore exclaims the gospel prophet also, shall the strong people shortly shall people glorify thee? The city of the terrible nation shall appear thee, for thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in the darkness, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible one is as a storm against the wall. Isaiah 25:3-4. And in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it in the truth, in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment, and hasting righteousness, Isaiah 16:5. Since according to this scripture, the establishment of the Yeshua's throne is yet future. And since furthermore it is to be set up in the tabernacle of David, the which did not take place at his first coming, Yahshua therefore, when he comes to reign in his forthcoming kingdom, will sit on the throne of David. And as he is then to judge, seek judgment, and hasten righteousness, the entire action occurs just before the close of the probation, the time in which he can hasten righteousness. So happily, this prophecy of the Yeshua's genealogy and of his taking the reins in his own hands at Kermit, Texas, 2002 at the Passover. Brother Johnson prophesied that Yahshua would be there in person, and he was invisible, but he was there, was given for the admonition and learning of those who shall be living at the end of time. When all these things shall come to pass, supremely important, therefore, is the need to remember its all-important lesson and with a faithful act promptly, seeing that Lot as well as Abraham appears in the genealogical record of the Yeshua, the question naturally asserts itself, why should these two men be so greatly honored? And the answer awaits us, for the Abraham obtained this great honor because he was faithful unto the word of the Yahweh and never questioned it. Though all things seem destined to fulfill themselves contrary unto his interest and for the Yahweh's promises, though the Yahweh promised to give the land to him and unto his posterity for a perpetual possession, Abraham personally never obtained the promise. Besides enduring these faith-trying tests, he waited 25 years for the promised son only to be commanded when this only child was become a young man to sacrifice him for a burnt offering. Still through every trial, he never lost his faith in the Yahweh, but implicitly trusted in him and unreservedly obeyed his command. For this reason, Yahweh signally honored him. Yet the great lesson here to be learned is not so much from the Abraham experience as from the Lot's. For though Lot was not quite so generous as was Abraham, and not quite so willing to live apart from the world, still his faith in the promises of the Yahweh unto Abraham was as great as was the faith of Abraham himself, yea, in some respects even greater. For the Yahweh spake unto Abraham in person, whereas he spoke to Lot through Abraham. For the Lot therefore had to have implicit confidence that Elohim had spoken unto him through Abraham. As in the days of the Abraham, moreover, there was no scripture by which to prove that his going from his father's house was in the fulfillment of the prophecy, and that Yahweh was leading him to depart from Ur of the Chaldees to go into a land that were about of which he himself knew not. Hebrews 11:8-9. We see that Lot was not like most men today, who question and criticize everything and the unfolding of the truth without the slightest questioning or doubting. He put his trust in Abraham, Yahweh, and confidently followed in the quest for the promised land. What a contrast between the character of Lot and that of the Jews, who rejected the prophets and even put them to death. For this reason, Yahweh honored Lot with the greatest gift heaven could bestow upon a human being, sharing the earthly parentage of the Yeshua of glory, the eternal King. Although furthermore, Lot's descendants, the Moabites and the Ammonites, were no better than the other heathen. Yet for Lot's sake, Yahweh did not deal with them as he did with the rest of the heathen, but commanded Moses to distress not the Moabites, Now they're contending with him in the battle, for I will not give thee of your land for a possession, because I have given Ar unto the children of Lot for a possession. And when thou comest not over against the children of Ammon, distress them not, nor meddle with them, for I will not give thee of the land of the children of Ammon any possession, because I have given it unto the children of Lot for a possession. Deuteronomy 2:9-19. And if any man serve me, said the Yahshua, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. John 12:26. Also, he shall call upon me, said the psalmist, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Psalm 91:15. A sad from a happy deed of the showing hospitality unto the angel who visited Solomon, or Sodom. Let's read that again. Aside from the happy deed of the showing hospitality unto the angels who visited Sodom, Genesis 19:1, the noblest act in the spotted record of Lot's life is that he joined Abraham in his newly found and strange religion, and that in order to do so, he departed from both his father's house and his homeland, knowing not whether he was going, besides receiving consequently the everlasting blessing of being one of the earthly progenitors of the Yahshua, a blessing which he shall realize through the Messiah, or through the Yahshua, at the great resurrection day, and rejoice in throughout eternity. He did not go wanting for the temporal blessing, and while surrounded with the earthly danger, heaven sent angels even delivered him from the doomed city of Sodom before it was reduced to ashes, Genesis 19:16, 24-25. Had he waited, though, for the greater evidence as to whether or not Yahweh was leading him in this most momentous event of his life, had he said in his heart, I take no chance, but shall wait until this venture proves successful, I shall first investigate and know for a surety that the land is fertile, and the climate agreeable unto my family stock, etc. Or he never would have had a part in the movement itself, or in the fraternal lineage of the Yahshua of the glory, or in his eternal kingdom. O brother, sister, have you the faith of the Lord? All these things happen unto them for ensamples, and are written for our admonition upon whom the end of the world are come. 1 Corinthians 10:11. O let us then follow in the footsteps of the great men of the Yahweh, in trusting his immutable word, and acting upon it without the slightest hesitation. Follow not in the way of those who doubt its question and criticize, and who, in the fatal consequence, never arrive at the knowledge of the truth. Of such who lived at the time of the early Advent movement, congregation history has said, multitudes, trusting implicitly to their pastors, refused to listen to the warning, and others, though convinced of the truth, dare not confess it, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. a great obstacle goes to the acceptance and to the promulgation of the truth. It is a fact that it involves inconvenience and reproach. This is the only argument against the truth, which the advocate has never been able to refute. But this does not deter the true followers of the Yeshua. These do not wait for the truth to become popular, being convinced of their duty. They deliberately accept the crucifixion with the apostle Paul, counting that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, with one of the old, esteeming the reproach of the Yeshua greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Great Controversy, page 380 and 460. Both the Moabites and the Ammonites, being the descendants of Lot, and Lot being one with Abraham, also the Edomites, being the descendants of Esau, Jacob's twin brother, to all of whom Yahweh declared, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again. Genesis 15:13-16. They should therefore have known that the time had come for the fulfillment of that long expected event, and should according they have been ready for it, or had they lost sight of the truth, then they should have recalled it when they saw the movement that was now at their very border. Had they believed in the Abraham Yahweh, as the Lord believed, they would not have refused to let the children of Israel, their blood relatives, pass through their country, through the promised land, but rather would have joined with them, as Lord joined with Abraham to help them possess it. Indeed, the Moabites went so far in their hostility towards the relatives that they even hired Balaam to curse them, in spite of the fact that Yahweh, in the putting of the Israelites in mind of his promise unto Lot, commanded them that they harm not their brethren, Judges 11:16-18. Thus, in the declining to welcome them and to grant them safe conduct through the land, the Moabites not only refused to acknowledge Yahweh's wondrous providence, but also rejected him in the person of his people, whom they well knew he had led with his signs and wonders out of the land of Egypt. May this tragic lesson penetrate into the innermost hearts of all today, and cause them to acknowledge Yahweh's mighty power and the fulfilling prophecy. Shall not the believers avoid the mistakes and blunders of the past, and without hesitating, join Yahweh's people on their onward march toward the antitypical promised land, or will any in this enlightened age stubbornly disregard the word of Yahweh and oppose his people, as did the Moabites and the Ammonites, who consequently lost both their kingdom and eternal life? Oh, what a catastrophe! After having thus been enlightened by the word of the truth, to hear spoken against oneself the same dreadful sentence which excluded the Moabites and the Ammonites from the congregation of the Yahweh. An Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of Yahweh, even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Yahweh. For Let's do it again. An Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Yahshua, son of the Elohim, even unto their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, forever, because they met not, you not with bread and with water and the way when you came forth out of the Egypt, and because they lured their heart against thee, Balaam, the son of Beor, of Pethor, of Mesopotamia, to curse thee. Deuteronomy 23:3-4. For the Moabite heart of Balaam calls attention unto the fact that in the Anatite, those who should be welcoming and blessing Yahweh's people will, instead, with the promises of money and fame, be hiring false-hearted servants to curse them. But we are comforted by the truth and type that which Yahweh has blessed, no man can curse. I am astonished, says Yahweh's servant, that with the examples before us of what man may be and what he may do, we are not stimulated to the greater exertion to emulate the good works of the righteous. All may not occupy a position of the prominence, yet all may fill the positions of the usefulness and trust, and may, by their persevering fidelity, do far more good than they have any idea that they can do. Those who embrace the truth should seek a clear understanding of the Scriptures and an experimental knowledge of a living Savior. The intellect should be cultivated, the memory taxed. All intellectual laziness is sin, and spiritual lethargy is death. Testimonies, Volume 4, page 399. For we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence unto the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua have the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20, during this 12th parabolic hour, and patience inherit the promises, Hebrews 6:11-12. Those who wait for the minister to accept the message before they themselves act upon their convictions will never come to the knowledge of the truth, says the spirit of the prophecy. As the light and life of men were rejected by the ecclesiastical authorities in the days of the Yahshua, so it has been rejected in every succeeding generation, again and again. The history of the Yahshua's withdrawal from the Judea has been repeated. When the reformers preached the word of the Yahweh, they had no thought of separating themselves from the established congregation of the Catholics. But the religious leaders would not tolerate the light, and those that bore it were forced to seek another path, who were longing for the truth. In our day, few of the professed followers of the reformers are actuated by their spirit. Few are listening for the voice of the Yahweh and ready to accept truth in whatever guise it may be presented. Often those who follow in the steps of the reformers are forced to turn away from the congregation they love in order to declare the plain teaching of the word of the Yahweh, and many times those who are seeking for the light are by the same teaching obliged to leave the congregation of their father, that they may render obedience, that is Isaiah 2:32. In those days and in that time, says Yahweh, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together, joined and weeping, they shall go and seek the Yahshua, their Redeemer. They shall ask their way unto Zion, with their faces thitherward, saying, come, and let us join ourselves unto Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. Okay. My people have been lost as sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountain. They have gone from the mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. All that found them have devoured them. And their adversary said, we have sinned not, because they have sinned against Yahshua, the habitation of justice, even the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, the hope of their fathers, removed out of the midst of battle and go forth out of the land of the Chilean and be as the ghost leaders before the flock. Jeremiah 50:48. For the time has come for a thorough reformation to take place. When this reformation begins, the spirit of prayer will actuate every believer and will banish from their congregation the spirit of the discord and strife. Those who have not been living in the antitypical apostolic fellowship will draw close unto one another. One member working in right lines will lead other members to unite with him in the making intercession for the revelation of the Holy Spirit. There will be no confusion, because all will be in harmony with the mind of the Spirit. The barriers separating believers from believers will be broken down, and the Yahweh servants will speak the same thing. The Yahweh will cooperate with their servants. All will pray understandingly the prayer that the Yahshua taught his servants. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6:10, Testimony, Volume 8, page 25. For the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, said unto my father Yahweh, sit thou at my right hand. And let's do that again. For the Yahweh the Father said unto his son Yahshua, he called him my son Yahshua, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. For the Yahweh shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Who thou in the midst of thine enemies? Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauty of the holiness, from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. For the Yahshua has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For the Yahweh at thy right hand shall strike to king in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the head of many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way, therefore shall he lift up the head. Psalm 110:1-7. Remember Lot's wife, escape for thy life. This is our last subtitle of this charge, forth the structure of the church, sending forth a message that the kingdom is to be restored by the antitypical prophet Elijah. And that's who the title I have. Just before the close of the probation, but that the earth being unfit for the saints to dwell on it eternally, for the Yahweh shall therefore come, the Son of Yahweh shall therefore come again and receive all of the redeemed, both those who are raised from their graves and those who shall be found alive at his coming, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, and shall take them unto the mansions above, which he has joined prepared, John 14:3. Then as the saints ascend and the wicked die, the earth will be left empty and dark, Jeremiah 4:23-29, for 1,000 years, Revelation 20:6. After which Yeshua shall descend with the saints, Revelation 21:1-3. Purify the earth with fire, 2 Peter 3:10-13, and fit it anew for the saints' eternal abode, Isaiah 45:18. Now therefore let your faith in the word renew your love in the truth, and in the promise of the future glory. Hold sing unto Yahshua a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm has gotten him the victory, for the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, has made known his salvation through his blood, Hebrews 10:19-20. His righteousness hath he opened, they showed in the sight of the heathen. He has remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our Yahshua. Make a joyful noise unto the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Yahshua with the harp, and the voice of the song, with the trumpets and sound of the cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Yahshua the King. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together, because Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, for he cometh to judge the earth with righteousness, shall he judge the world and the people with equity. Psalm 98:1-9. Oh, what scenes of the future glory! Who would miss them? Brother, sister, you must be there. Whatever you lose here, be determined to make sure of a home there. It will be an eternity of bliss, a blessed eternity, unfolding new glories throughout the ceaseless ages. Testimony Volume 8, page 131. Behold the crystal river and green fields, the waving trees and living fountains, the shining city and the white robed singer of our heavenly home, that world of the beauty which no artist can picture, no mortal tongue describe. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which the Yahweh has prepared for them that love him, 1 Corinthians 2:9, to dwell forever in this home of the blessed, to bear in soul, body, and spirit not the dark traces of the sin and the curse, but the perfect likeness of our Creator, and through the ceaseless ages to advance in wisdom, in knowledge, and in holiness, ever exploring new fields of this heart, ever finding new wonders and new glory, ever increasing in the capacity to know. And to enjoy and to love, and knowing that there is still beyond us joy and love and wisdom infinite. Such is the object in which the believer's hope is pointing, counsels unto the teachers. That's taken from Counsels of Teachers, page 55. This brings in by steps. This is our contact us at the 11th hour, calling at number 11. Click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with this hour.